Eric Morimoto.
Present.
Abigail Wilgreen.
Here.
Wayne Jett. David Roback. Robert Wagner. Brian Livingston.
Here.
Yvonne Barnes.
Here.
Jeff Thorson.
Here.
Donald Copsell. John Hammerhand. Michael Rain. Jim Kearns.
Here.
That's it. You were going to say something?
The motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting, March 22nd. The motion for minutes. Is there a second?
Who made the motion? I'm sorry.
Yvonne Barnes.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have anybody for public comment? All right, action items. Item A, membership change, appoint Ryan Livingston as primary member from the city of Woodstock.
I'm going to change that to alternate. Sorry, that didn't get changed.
Alternate?
So technically, based on the bylaws, it has to be, the primary has to be the elected official.
Okay.
So.
All right, do I have a motion to accept Ryan as the? Jeff Thorson. Okay, second.
Second.
Eric. Okay, do we need any introduction? Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself, tell about yourself a little bit.
Ryan Livingston, I was on the private side for the past 11 years at Hampton Lindsay in Renwick. About a month ago, I made the switch to public and became city here at Woodstock. My experience is kind of all over the place. I've done pretty much everything in infrastructure, stormwater, water, sewer, roads, bridges, a little bit of everything. So, good fit for the city, I think.
Well, welcome. Okay. With that, we I don't need to do a voice for us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a motion and a second.
I do have a motion and a second. Yeah. I don't need a voice for it. I can do it up there. It's not money involved.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, you want a roll call? Okay, roll call.
Oh, sorry. Eric Morimoto.
Yes.
Abigail Wilgreen.
Yes.
Ross Polarki.
Yes.
Ryan Livingston. Or is he, can he vote?
No.
Oh, that's you. I'm just going down my list reading. Yvonne Barnes.
Yes.
Jeffrey Thorson.
Yes.
Jim Kearns.
Yes.
We used to vote individually for appointments at county board.
Okay. All right, well, that's okay. Stormwater appointments.
That's just an updated list with Ryan's name and contact information.
Okay. Move on down to, we're going to get a record finish here, maybe. TAC membership changes, appointment of did you say Bree?
Brio.
Brio Cummings is alternate member for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. You want to introduce yourself? I was reading your resume. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I did my undergrad in Eau Claire, conservation biology. I just got my master's from Indiana University in environmental policy. I've been with the Corps now for about a year and a half. I've worked under Julie Rimbold, some of you might have met in the past. She's got those little kind of stuff working with Kevin.
Welcome.
Do
we have to vote on that? All right, I need a second and a...
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, second. Okay, let's proceed to vote. Roll call.
Eric Morimoto.
Yes.
Abigail Wilgreen.
Yes.
Ross Polarki.
Yes.
Now can Ryan vote?
Yes.
Ryan Livingston.
Yes.
Yvonne Barnes.
Yes.
Jeffrey Thorson.
Yes.
Jim Kearns.
Yes. Okay, let's
all
move
good.
Down to bylaw amendments, MCSC. You want to go
sure.
over that?
Sure. There is a House bill or a bill in the legislation right now. Its draft form, it is on the governor's desk. It's House Bill 4748. So at this point, that is our enabling legislation for the stormwater management component of the ordinance and everything here in the state. So it's ILCS 55 ILCS 5/5-1062. So again, that's our enabling document here of the ordinance. And how we were what we reformed. So 1062, 10.62.2, and 1062.3 are all relative and specific to locations in the state. So 1062 is the CMAP area, 1062.2 is kind of the next ring out, 1062.3 is DuPage and Peoria counties. So with respect to that, there is a full list. I mean, it's not a major list, but they saw the problems with, the state has seen the problems, and I'm sure you've heard it over the years with respect to urban flooding. So they wanted to add that component into the ordinances and the requirements of the counties that are underneath this legislation. So there's some urban flooding components that needed to be added. Also, there is a component of if a county or a body wants to give out grants, that they have to follow specific rules. We don't have any money in our budget right now for grants. We do have our wetland restoration fund, and we'll go into that, but that is not a grant as far as we're concerned, so there's no strings attached, so to speak, with respect to the WRF. So there was some legislation, there's some draft language in there to add draft or components of if you are giving out grants, that the municipal agencies need to follow specific rules, and actually enabling legislation to say that they can give out grants. And then also it changes from NIPC to CMAP. There was some language in there that still had the old NIPC, so the Northeast Illinois Planning Commission, so that's now CMAP, so that language was changed. And there's some other requirements with respect to what our role is, so emphasis on use of cost-effective solutions for flood problems, and then also some small changes to say we're going to evaluate and address flooding problems that exist in urbanized areas that are a result of urban flooding. And that, again, comes into play with, you know, all the documents that we've seen lately on the reports about that not just necessarily the FEMA floodplains are flooding, it's those urban areas and depression, and I'm sure Abby and Eric can tell you all about those, and I'm sure Ryan will in a few days when it rings again. But, you know, that is a major component of our agency and our county here is helping those areas that are still not in the regulatory floodplain, but we know that there are flood problems in those areas too. So those are the changes, and so there is a red line version of the bylaws in your packet here. And again, this language in section 2, if we want to go over it, if you guys have it in front of you or not, but section 2 here in the purpose and the duties, again, that language, the shall evaluate and address flood problems, and then the next section 2B comes directly out of the language in the House bill. It's the added language. And again, on the next page, section D there, section 2D, changes from NIPC to CMAP. I think that is it. Changes. And then it changes just to the very end of the day of the 23rd. So those are the small minor changes, but I figured since we're meeting, this is a good opportunity to add.
And if we adopt this today, then it moves on to the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll ask for a motion now that she's explained it. I'll ask for a motion. I should have done that the other way, but
I'll make a motion to approve the changes to that bylaws.
Is there a second?
Second.
Abigail. Go by Abby or Abigail?
I go by Abby. Yeah. But either way.
All right. I'm new here. All right. So now let's discuss if anybody has any questions. Then we'll proceed for a voice vote. Roll call.
Eric Morimoto?
Yes.
Abby Wilgreen?
Yes.
Ross Polarki?
Yes.
Ryan Livingston?
Yes.
Yvonne Barnes?
Yes.
Jeff Thorson?
Yes.
And Jim Kearns?
Yes.
That's it.
Okay, now we'll move down to the restoration, what that restoration fund permit request from Steven Sand and Gravel. Do we have a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, second. Who's going to discuss this?
Talk about this one too.
Okay.
So as there's some additional financial documentation in here, but as you know, we've seen this a couple times here. This is our third time that we've had an applicant come through and say that they would like to use the wetland restoration fund for mitigation portion of their project. So Thielen Sand and Gravel is actually in the village of Lakemore off of Route 120. So this is a little different. So they're a non-certified community, so planning and development has done the review for the project. And they'll do the building side of things, the zoning side of things at the village level, but we will still do the stormwater management ordinance component of this project. They are going to be impacting about a half acre of an isolated farm wetland in kind of the center of their zone of influence here with the mining. And you can see there are some maps in your packet here. They're planning on not touching the wetlands on the eastern side of the
16.3.
Right. So they're going to stay out of that area at this point. That will be as part of their long-term restoration, or what do they call that? Restoration. What's the
To reclaim?
Reclamation plan. There you go. So the reclamation, they will incorporate that in at their other side. So this is kind of their phase two of the mine out there. So they are actively mining on the eastern side. There's another lake over on that side. But in this request, they are requesting the use of the wetland restoration fund for that impact to that half acre, approximately half acre wetland over there. Per the bylaws and per our ordinance, it needs to come through you as the Stormwater Management Commission to accept that use of the wetland restoration fund. The mitigation is just under 0.7, I think it's 0.735 acres, or acre of mitigation at a 1.5-to-1 ratio, so that's where they get the 0.73. The dollar amount per acre is $80,000 in this watershed. This is the Upper Fox watershed, so it's $80,000 per acre for mitigation. That equals $58,800 into our wetland restoration. That is the breakdown of that. Right now we had $198,000 in the fund. We did allocate $118,000 to the Stearns Fen project just this spring. So that leaves just under $80,000 in the bank, and then we'd add that 58 to it.
So would this trigger another call for project next year then?
Actually, it was already triggered because we do have over the $75,000 in there still. So this fall, last year we had the call for projects around October, just the first part of October. And then the RFPs were due back in December, the first part of December. So we anticipate doing that again. But if we get this money in time, we will go out for that entire balance of the fund.
I guess it wouldn't be easier for them to relocate that. Would it cost them more money than $58,000?
Well, it probably would, but our ordinance does require that any mitigation under 1.5 acres has to be either done in a bank or through the fund.
Or
so they can't mitigate on site.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Let's call for a roll call.
Eric Morimoto?
Yes.
Abby Wilgreen? Ross Polarki?
Yes.
Ryan Livingston?
Yes.
Yvonne Barnes?
Yes.
Jeff Thorson?
Yes.
Jim Kearns?
Yes. All right, so motion carries. Move down to item number 5, discussion items, future storm damage ordinance amendments, and the Ag Subcommittee.
I'd be happy to.
All right.
So last week, there was a group of residents and stakeholders and those that are interested on kind of the ag side. So there were county board members, there were two county board members, Mary McCann and Jim Kearns. Dennis and I were there, representatives from the Soil and Water Conservation District, MCDOT, the Farm Bureau, so Dan Bokers and Dan Zeller. Were there the fair board, so Ken and Bauman was there, along with drainage district representatives from both the Coon Creek and the Hebron drainage districts, along with a couple of extra just stakeholders, farmers from the county that thought would be of benefit to the discussion. So as we go through the process of trying to figure out what type of amendments or amendments in general need to be put in the ordinance based on just overall concerns, questions, and seeing of, you know, how is this ordinance working since 2014? This is the kind of the first time we've actually had some, I'm not going to say complaints, but concerns of maybe this is too restrictive or maybe it's not restrictive enough on the ag side of things. So we took the opportunity to sit down with the ag community and discuss some options and see their side of the coin as to what their concerns are and how they would think that they would address it or how the ordinance could address those areas in the ordinance that may be a little bit too restrictive or that are causing extra concerns in those ag communities or those ag, you know, those ag parcels. So it was a healthy discussion. We did actually talk about the nuisance drainage ordinance, that was the morning portion of the meeting. But as for the afternoon, we did speak and talk about the ag side of the ordinance in particular. And you'll see some bullet points in the memo here of what kind of came out of it. Really wasn't any consensus on what should be done or what type of amendment they're looking for. Everybody had a different opinion. There was definitely some good thoughts as to what's important and what the concerns were, especially runoff from development adjacent to an open field or an open area. So sometimes those areas are getting more water or they're getting a longer duration, so they're seeing negative activities happening in their farm fields where they're not being able to farm those areas or the production has been lost. Along with the other side of the coin that says, you know what, I need some extra space, I need some extra gravel, or I need some extra impervious area to put down because I have extra, or I have more machinery, or I have more field, you know, equipment that I need to either store on site or use for turnaround or parking areas. And it would be beneficial if I didn't have to put in detention. So there was definitely both sides of the coin here. You guys may be next door if you guys are doing...
She said conference room B.
Yeah.
No, Salvation Army. Picking up bins.
Yep, right there. Okay, sorry.
All right, you think something? Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
They end up like the material. So in general, there's definitely, everyone's got a different opinion, just like everyone here would have a different opinion on anything that we have in the ordinance. So in general, I think the most important points to bring up was there are negative, you know, things that are happening, negative impacts that are happening to those farmers or those people that are downstream of, let's say, a detention basin. Maybe there's ways that we can, you know, tweak the ordinance to say that, you know, a detention basin, yes, per Illinois drainage law, you're always allowed to drain to this low spot in your corner of your property, but let's tweak the ordinance in a way that decreases that negative impact to there. So maybe that's, you know, in some cases there were some comments about changing it up and putting in a level spreader instead of just a point discharge, so a pipe coming right into somebody's farm field. Maybe it was decreasing the release rate from the detention basin. So again, you're getting less water, but in that case, you're going to get more water over time. So again, there's a trade-off there. Other comments that came out.
Hard piping.
Right. So instead of discharging straight on the surface, maybe you're going into a drain tile or into a pipe across somebody's yard or somebody's farm. So in that case, you would need an easement or some other type of agreement with that downstream property owner to allow you to discharge through there either their tile or a new pipe within a specific location in their property to get it to somewhere that's going to be able to freely flow. So a creek, a swale, or something like that. Roadside ditch.
One of their big concerns on that was it's created, you know, an urbanization. One they talked about was Huntley on Harmony Road there, the school district. Every time it rains, it creates a stream running across and washed out the fields. And instead of piping that directly underneath, so that it runs for weeks there. And that's one of the things, the examples that they brought up. they had other examples too that were quite interesting of what the cause was that created wetlands on them. So it's you're right. It's going to be very. It's going to be a long drawn-out thing here. The most important thing was that they were pretty much in agreement, if I understood it right, is let's watch what Kane County and a couple of these other ones do around us. Not get in a big hurry and change everything all at once, but let's talk about more and see what they do. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. I mean, the topic of the day was definitely detention, and they addressed it from two sides. One, should agricultural properties have to provide detention? And we heard both sides of that. We did hear from one farmer who said specifically an equestrian who's next to him put in a big new indoor riding stable and all kinds of, you know, accoutrements, and he was very concerned about the runoff from that equestrian use across his property, and in that case, at least thought that absolutely they should have to provide detention. On the other hand, there's examples of agricultural community who feels like we have a lot of acres, we have a lot of grain bins and silos and parking areas and a lot of land, and we shouldn't have to put in detention. And the current exemption we have for putting in detention requires us to file this easement saying that we'll maintain the open space. And some agricultural properties have taken advantage of that, and others have said, we don't want to put in the detention, and we don't want to file an easement. What alternative could you give us? Third alternative, that was the question I think we really asked to the agricultural community, and they didn't have any suggestions for a third alternative. But maybe it's not on them, maybe it's on us to come up with what that is, but they didn't have a suggestion for that third alternative. Then the flip side of it is where detention is required, what happens with the outlet? And that's what Joanne was talking. The agricultural community has lots of examples of where now a lot of the used to sheep flow off a property is detained, it's released at a fixed rate, but from a fixed point. And when you reduce the rate that's released, it's always being released. That detention pond dewaters over 3 or 4 days or maybe a week or more in some cases. And so they have a continual wet place, a spot or trail across their property. And in some cases that negatively impacts them. And they're asking for solutions to that. Solutions could be that you require the developer to work out an agreement with the receiving property owner that is either going to be a surface flow across their property or it's going to be a subsurface flow using existing tiles or new tiles. That's something I think that maybe Kane County has implemented to some extent and we can look at more. We had a question for them, and I would ask the question of this group. That does mean that potentially you're going to tell a property owner who wants to develop and needs to put in a detention pond, we're not going to approve that until you get an agreement with your downstream property owner. You're really going to essentially be telling an upstream property owner they have to come to an agreement with the downstream property, and if not, we're not going to approve your permit. I'm not really sure how that coincides with Illinois drainage law, which basically says downstream properties receive water from upstream. Water flows downhill, that's how it is. But it does mean we'd be telling people no. You come back with an easement or an agreement, something from your neighbor to let you develop, and I guess, you know, we're going to hear about that when we say no. You're going to hear about it when we say no. So I want some feedback from this group as we work on regulations, whether you're willing to have that kind of a system in place where we might be telling people, no, you can't develop until you come to an agreement with your downstream receiving property owner.
And to that extent, and I think that's really what we don't want to create more headaches than we.
I will say that, you know, Jim gave the example. The other one we keep hearing about is a development in Union that goes across a property. Many of these are municipal developments that outlet across under the road directly into an unincorporated property. So it would be municipalities that would be telling their property owners no until you get an agreement with that unincorporated property owner. So that's kind of the dynamic that would be created. And we'd be interested in feedback on how you think that will play out.
And the other important part about that,
I'm hearing a lot of enthusiasm. Yes, but we'll definitely follow Kane County and see what they're doing.
It's a tough sell, but in the case of that horse farm putting in, he destroyed basically with his water, with that outlet, he destroyed that whole corner of that property that they had to go in and pay to fix.
I like to think there are technical solutions. I mean, the level spreader and stuff like that.
Right.
Let the engineers speak to that, whether they think there is really just a technical solution as opposed to a kind of a legal
legal solution where you have to make the downstream property agree to it before you do it.
You know, and the other thing that took more time and more controversy than anything was the drainage ordinance, the nuisance drainage ordinance, that they suggested we follow the state drainage ordinance, which actually does make sense to some extent, because our nuisance ordinance basically exempts anybody and everybody.
Including Ag.
Including Ag. It exempts everybody. It's a worthless ordinance, the one that we currently have out there. So I think we'll be bringing forward the state one, change, modify, to not make it criminal. The state's a criminal. I think that's what they thought we should do.
So waiting for a request from you and Mary to proceed with that.
I'm going to request that right now.
I'm going to request you right now, and that's what we'll start drafting.
So.
No, that's separate from this committee.
Yes.
That's another, yeah.
So the nuisance drainage ordinance would be something that's totally different than what I can do or what we can regulate with respect to the stormwater management. So it takes it one step kind of lower, and the threshold drops a little bit to say, all right, we can regulate some of these nuisance problems that don't necessarily fit into the purview of the stormwater management.
And the other big push that does affect the municipalities was their big push is to reactivate all these drainage districts, and that's it should help everybody if they do that. So that's a really big push. So other than that, what else do we have here? Anybody else have any comments on that?
What's the next step? At this point, with the meeting you had, and obviously the lack of at least consensus for now, are they asking for TAC input from us, or is there going to be more discussion internally first?
I would say, as Dennis and Jim mentioned, that King County is currently revising their ordinance as we have two major communities that are cross county, both Algonquin and Huntley. It moves us to wait kind of until they're into the point of having some stable language. Right now they're in the draft form. They don't anticipate it getting at least to the county board level. We'll have select committees towards the end of this year. So February is what we're anticipating having it adopted. It doesn't mean we have to wait till February, but they're still in the draft language form. But again, I think it would benefit both counties if we are if we're similar in language, because we do, most of our water does drain into Kane or west of Boone, so we do have some of those larger communities where those are the issues. It appears that some of those issues do stem from that second portion of the county.
And I don't know about Algonquin, but Huntley, did I understand, they follow the Kane County language.
Oh, them
too. Okay. So we might as well try to be close in language. At least use them as what we're going to try to create ourselves to help us a lot. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, in some cases, I think they're going a little, don't put this on record, overboard. But again, it's still draft as far as they're concerned. So they're asking their engineers or their, the consultants or the applicants to do a lot more calculations. I think a lot of people would be comfortable around here. The need for some of this calculations that they're requesting. But they could scale it back at this point, I'm not sure. But again, their ordinance has been since 2002. This is the first time they're doing a comprehensive rewrite also. So again, they've got close to 20 years worth of issues that have been building up also, and the concerns of, we realize this isn't going well. Kind of like what we did a few years ago.
Okay. Is there any miscellaneous items? I believe so. Member comments, future topics. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good.
Okay.
With that, we can have the room back.
Yeah.